So, good morning, everybody. This is actually late evening for us. We are joining you from India. I'm Pramit. I'm the founder of Louis Voice Control, and we'll certainly talk about it. I got with me two of my colleagues, Jo. She'll be doing all the hard work of the demo. She takes care of our QA, all the quality analysis. Jo, if you can introduce yourself.
Good morning, everybody. This is Joe from India.
And I got Mac. He is in marketing. He'll again be helping us with the videos, etc.
Hello, everyone. This is Mac. Happy to be here.
All right. So I will start it off. So I'll probably just introduce what Louis Voice Control is. So it's a simple app that allows a user to just give voice commands and with pure voice commands be able to do inside out practically everything within our popular apps as well as phone settings. Louis is in a lot of ways trying to solve my own problem as I'm also visually impaired. A bit about me. I hope it will not bore you, but I think how I got inspired to build Louis, probably I just want to quickly talk about it. I used to have a normal vision, absolutely perfect vision. And I'm a computer engineer. Then I did my MBA. And then I've worked with global companies like Unilever, Motorola, Quest Diagnostics. About 21 years back, there was a drug given to me for joint pains. The drug did work in the sense that joint pains disappeared, but it also reacted on the retina. So all of a sudden, I think it was practically overnight from what I can remember. My vision just dropped drastically. And doctors were surprised. How can the vision drop so much and you didn't realize it? But I could still get some correction at that time. So life went on. I was working with the companies I mentioned. Over the years, it would keep dropping once in a while and then stabilize and so on. About 9 years back is when it suddenly started dropping very fast. And suddenly everything got wavy, foggy, and I couldn't read a thing. And it was still dropping. And this is when it really hit me. So I just lost confidence. And because I used to work in companies essentially in marketing strategy, and I was managing businesses, and suddenly, that thought of how will I handle PowerPoint and Excel sheets and so on? How will I do this, that? Like I said, I just lost confidence. And the funny thing was, of course, my friends and family around me were helping me. But I realized that the more that they helped me, the more I would become dependent on them, the more I would become dependent. The lesser will be my confidence. And there were even questions on my self-esteem. So I went through this phase, like a 2.5 to 3 year phase. I didn't know anybody else who was visually impaired. I didn't know that there are organizations who can help support. So I was literally on my own and I just figured out things on my own. So I came across a screen reader and I turned it on my smartphone. I suddenly realized that my smartphone was completely locked because the normal gestures were not working. Even my sighted family couldn't help. We had to get onto Google to figure out how to get out of this damn thing. So, but of course, as I started figuring out the screen reader, it was extremely helpful. I similarly discovered NVDA just because the name sounded fancy. I downloaded it and I said, oh boy, this is like completely, this is exactly what I needed. So I think this was a period also of that discovery. It slowly, I got started getting my confidence back. I knew that I didn't want to take on full-time roles. So I started doing consulting work and started enjoying it. And I had no plans to build any kind of app for that matter. There were these couple of chance events which got me onto it. The first one was where I had gone for a meeting. Essentially, my focus was to get some projects because of for my consulting work. This was with a venture capital company and the managing director there. It's called Sequoia Capital. I think it's a big company out of Silicon Valley. They happen to be pretty big in India as well. So this gentleman heard my story. He was not interested in discussing any consulting work. He was more interested in which accessibility apps I use and what I like, don't like, where the gaps are, and so on. And he's the one who put this in his mind. He said, why don't you build apps for visually impaired? This whole consulting business is nonsense. So I was obstinate. I kept pushing him, in that 1 hour meeting. Anyway, I came out and, the more I thought about it, the more I think I felt that, look, this is like a golden chance. Really, do you get that opportunity to leverage your own disability and build something that might work for others as well? And then at that time, there was a study also done in Australia, which I came across, where 95% of the people on their deathbed regretted the fact that they did not do what they really wanted. You know, they did not follow their heart's desire. And I just said, I'm not going to be one of those 95%. So I decided to take a plunge. Then, of course, this gentleman asked, so what are you going to build? You know, what's a good idea? And again, I can tell you, it can be very, very daunting. See, it's one thing to say that, you know, I'll build an app, or, you know, it's one thing to sort of criticize and, you know, say this is not good, that's not good from on what is available. But when somebody tells you, put it in half a page, what is a good app? I had no answers. And this is where, you know, I think, I don't know, some kind of higher divine forces came to my rescue. But this is another chance meeting. I had gone to meet a friend to his office. And on the way back, he kindly offered to book Uber for me. He took my smartphone and he asked me my destination. He put it into Uber. Uber showed up a few options. He read them out to me. I made a selection. Then he similarly told me the rights and the fares. Again, I told him which one to select. Then he reconfirmed everything with me. Where am I going? My pickup and how am I going to pay and so on. And he booked it for me. He even called and messaged a driver for me. On the way back in Uber, I felt this was something special, because as a visually impaired, you want to be independent and yet you want to be also in control of things. And then I felt that this was something special. So suddenly a thought flashed, like a eureka moment. And I said, what if I can build a virtual friend right here on the phone screen, which will do exactly what my human friend was doing? So it will take my voice commands. It will allow me to do each and everything practically within a supported app. It will do a continuous two-way voice interaction with me. And it will understand my special need that I cannot see the screen. So therefore, a special kind of handholding it will provide me. So this is what, ladies and gentlemen, the concept of Louis voice control. Just give Louis the voice commands and it will allow you to do each and everything within a supported app. Okay, so there are therefore two questions that automatically come in. One is, what apps does Louis support? So Louis currently supports, like I said, Uber, WhatsApp, YouTube, contacts, phone calling, text messaging, Google search, browser support, Facebook Messenger, Gmail, and Play Store. By the way, right now, Louis is in Android, but we have also started the work on iOS as well. So we are hoping that by the end of the year or early next year, we'll have a beta version out for iPhones as well. Now, every time the moment I say voice app, people immediately ask me, so how is it different from Siri? How is it different from Google Assistant? So what we thought is that we'll take this whole example of Uber only, and we'll just sort of show you the difference, and Mac will help, run the video. So Mac, can you do that? If you can play Google Assistant.
Hey Google, book Uber for Hooda Metro Station.
Okay, you've got some choices. Which do you want?
Read out for me. Hey Google, book Uber for Hooda Metro Station.
Okay, I found some choices. To choose, you can say things like the second one. So, which do you want?
Read out for me. I don't know what is the second one.
So, what happened here was that, of course, Google Assistant does not just throws up some options on the screen. And when I said read out, it obviously doesn't. It just tends to go silent. And that's the default action every time. The next time I said something about second option, and it just matched the word second, and it opened Uber. It put in some destination, which probably was the second one, which I didn't know, have any idea. Sometimes it doesn't even put in a destination. And then it again went silent. So basically, at best, it will put in a correct destination if you are lucky, but that's it. Now we'll quickly show you Siri in action as well.
Hey Siri, book Uber for Hooda Metro Station.
To confirm, there's one passenger?
Two passengers.
To confirm, there's one passenger?
Okay, one passenger.
To confirm, there's one passenger?
Yes.
You'll need to open Uber to complete this request.
So what's happening here with Siri is that in a functional sense, it does tell you to open Uber, but whether Uber is open, not open, doesn't matter. It just goes silent. So it really doesn't do much. Also, you know, one of the things we really quickly picked up is that when we do voice interaction, we all tend to be unstructured. So one trick in voice is not to just to, you know, expect users to give other options as well. So for example, here Siri is programmed in a way that it will only take yes or no as an answer. While, you know, a user might say two passengers, one passenger, which are absolutely valid conversations as we humans do. So not a great example here. And now what we'll do is we'll show you Louis voice control also booking Uber.
Hey, Louis.
Hey, Pam, which app would you like to open?
Book Uber for Huda Metro Station.
Opening Uber. Uber is loading. Just a moment. Setting it up. Screen is loading. Getting things ready. Searching for destination. Please wait. Huda Metro Station, Gurgaon, Delhi Expressway, Sector. Huda Metro Station, Gurgaon, Delhi.
Select.
Let's select a ride. Reading rides from low to high fare. Touch with two finger to select ride. Connect one connect. Send packages to friends and family. Moto 73 rupees and 87 paise. Moto 1, 11:26 a.m. Affordable motorcycle rides. Uberato 110 rupees and 33 paise. Uberato 110 rupees and 33.
Select.
Your pickup location is Rehaya Ravanta. Your destination is Huda Metro Station. Payment method, Uber Cash, 7,650 rupees and 42 paise. Good to go with Uberato. Confirm, edit, or cancel.
Confirm.
Okay, please wait requesting a ride for you. Touch with two finger to cancel booking. Your booking is confirmed. Your driver is arriving in 4, bin, driver profile, 4.9 star rating, HR55P7791, green TVs auto, your driver status, call or message driver, share or cancel ride, go silent or more options.
Message.
All right. So I think you notice the difference that Louis essentially does a continuous voice interaction. And that's very important if you want to get the work done end to end for the user. And it doesn't stop here. So, for example, the ride would come. Louis will inform how many minutes it's away. Then one can, of course, call the driver, message the driver, even cancel the ride. One can share, even when one is in the vehicle, one can share the ride with friends and family. One can even change destination. The user can also do multiple stop bookings. So pretty much everything that Uber offers, we try and do. We also add value. So, for example, you might have noticed that the rides are coming in the order of increasing prices. We all tend to be price sensitive, so it's a good idea to get the cheapest ride first. Now, that's not something necessarily Uber will do because they might want to push a premium, more profitable ride. Okay, so we'll now move on and Joe, we'll get into a live demonstration mode. So Joe will be helping me out there. What we'll do, we'll start with YouTube. And again, if I have to talk about some of the value adds here in Uber, so we're not just voice enabling apps. We are also trying to understand what are the pain points of the user or how can we make using that app simpler. So for example, most users told us that they find skipping the ads difficult. By the way, Google's own data shows that almost 70% of the ads get skipped by sighted people. So Louis has a setting by which it will automatically detect an ad and auto skip it. Similarly, one can forward or rewind a video by any number of seconds or minutes. So it could be as precise as 43 seconds. Or if you have a very long video, you want to do it in minutes. Now, that's again something which is not possible otherwise in YouTube because the default is 10 seconds and I think it can go up to probably something like 60 seconds. If you're watching a 1 hour video, then it can be quite a pain to keep forwarding it. So, Joe, if you can start with the YouTube demo.
Hey, Louis.
Hello, which app would you like to open?
YouTube.
Please tell me the name of the video you want to search for.
Justin Bieber, Stay.
Sure, opening YouTube. Reading search results for Justin Bieber, Stay. The Kid Laroi, Justin Bieber, Stay. The Kid Laroi.
Play.
Okay, playing.
Like,
play.
Oh. forward 37 seconds.
Forwarding.
Comment.
Speak your comment.
Listening to this song on loop.
Got it. Listening to this song on loop. Send, rewrite, continue.
Send.
Comment added.
Subscribe.
Subscribe.
Rewind 1 minute.
Rewinding.
Share.
I support sharing through WhatsApp. Continue. Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, sharing on WhatsApp. Say contact name or spell first name.
Robin.
Got it, Robin. I found one result, Robin. No more contacts.
Select.
Okay, add more, done, or cancel.
Done.
Video shared, going back to YouTube.
Stop.
Thank you, Joe.
Louis.
Bye-bye. Just quickly double shake your phone and I will...
Right. Thank you, Joe. So what we'd like to show you next is Gmail. Again, one of those apps that a lot of users told us they find it a little difficult to manage their emails. So Joe, if you can quickly show things like delete, forwarding an email, etc.
Hey, Louis.
Hi, which app would you like to open?
Gmail.
Opening Gmail. Sign in is jodynegijody at visio-apps.com. Latest email. Unread. My pharma meeting postponed at 7. Unread. My pharma meeting P.
Read.
Okay. Opening. Email from my pharma to me. Meeting postponed inbox. 7:26 p.m. Dear Joe, tomorrow's afternoon meeting has been postponed by an hour. New meeting time is 2 p.m. Regards, Ma. Do you want to reply? Reply all, forward, delete, or more options?
Reply.
Okay, speak your email.
Thanks for the update.
Got it. Thanks for the update. Send, rewrite, continue writing.
Same.
Email send. Email from Jody Negi to my meeting postponed inbox, 8:02 p.m. Reply.
Delete.
Confirm delete. Yes or no?
Yes.
Email deleted. Currently selected. Latest email. Unread. My pharma webinar with Frank Venture. Unread. My pharma webinar.
Open.
Okay, opening. Email from Mind Pharma to Promet, Louis, me, webinar with Frank Ventura from BIBUG at 7:30 p.m. today, external inbox, 6:37 p.m, https://. Reply all, forward, delete or more option.
Forward.
Say or spell first name.
Sunny.
Got it, Sunny. I found two results. Sunny Chowdhury. Sunny at visio-apps.com. Sunny Chowdhury.
Yes.
What would you like to do next? Add more recipients, CC, BCC, or dictate email message or forward email.
CC.
Say or spell first name.
Ajay.
Got it. Ajay. I found two results. Ajay at Visio. Ajay.
Select.
What would you like to do next? Add more recipients, BCC, or dictate email message or forward email.
Forward.
Email forwarded. Email from Jody Negi to Sunny. Reply.
Shut up.
Shutting down.
All right. Thank you, Joe. So we currently have users in about 100 countries. And I would say in the last 9 or 10 months, most of the work has happened based on the feedback of the users. So what should we fix? What we should improve? What are the apps that we should voice enable next? So it's really you know, the whole development is right now in that you know, very nice iterative loop driven by user feedback. We release something like 4 to 5 releases every week. So there's a lot of updates and, you know, quick feedbacks, which we keep getting from users. So as an example, a lot of users, especially in Africa, parts of South Asia, even Southeast Asia, gave us feedback that internet there is either very expensive or it is very, very patchy. So the request was, can Louis work without the internet in an offline mode? And we have been able to do that. So Louis can currently work in offline for apps which themselves don't require any internet. So for example, you got to manage your contacts, delete, block, create new contacts. You want to do phone calling, text messaging. So what we'll now next do is just show you how Louis supports contacts, phone calling, and text messaging. Joe, over to you.
Hey, Louis.
Hello, Joe. Which app would you like to open?
Contact.
Create a new contact. Read all contact. Browse all logs. Or search for an existing contact.
New contact.
Please speak the number from the digits between 0 to 9.
9811886001.
Got it. 9811886001. Say yes to confirm. Or no to re-enter the number.
Yes.
Say or spell the name by which you want to save this contact.
Pramit.
Got it. Promise say yes to confirm. Or no to re-enter the name.
Yes.
Contact save Promise 9811886001. Call, message, edit, delete, block, search, or cancel.
Edit.
Want to edit name or number?
Name.
Say or spell the new name.
Boss.
Got it. Boss. Save. Edit name or cancel.
Save.
Okay, name edited boss 9811886001. Call, message, edit, delete, block, search, or cancel.
Message.
Speak your message.
Hello boss, good evening.
Got it. Hello boss, good evening. Send, rewrite, continue writing, or cancel.
Continue with new line.
Speak your message.
I have saved your number using Louis. Full stop.
Got it. Hello, boss. Good evening. I have saved your number using Louis. Send, rewrite, continue writing, or cancel.
Send.
Message sent. Message home screen. Currently selected. +91799938
Close.
Closing message. Which app would you like to open?
Make a call to boss.
Phone call or WhatsApp call?
Phone call.
I found one result. Boss 98118860001. Boss 9.
Call.
Okay, calling boss.
नमस्कार कोविड 19 को बढ़ने
से देशा सहयोग करें थोड़े
All right. Thank you, Joe. Okay. So, talking of user feedback, another user problem that we have tried to solve, and by the way, it's of course a big problem for me as well, is that I really used to get stuck when it would come to images. And all of you would have heard of the great COVID surge that we had in back in April in India. And I can tell you at that time, a lot of very, very useful information was being shared in the form of images with a lot of text written on the images. And honestly, there was no option but, to go running and, figuring out somebody who's sighted who can read it out for me. So now what we have managed to do is that now Louis can also describe an image, read text on the image, and it seamlessly built it to Louis. So, for example, in WhatsApp, just like it would read a text message or it would play out an audio message, it will quickly figure out that this is an image and describe as well as, like I said, read the text on the image. And we'll just demonstrate that. Similarly, we have used the same OCR functionality to be able to read, let's say, a PDF document. Even a scanned PDF document, Louis will be able to read. So, Joe, what I'll request you, if we can just do WhatsApp and very quickly just show how how Louis is reading an image and then how Louis is reading a scanned PDF document.
Hey, Louis.
Hi, Joe. Which app would you like to open?
WhatsApp.
Hold on. Latest chat. Bishop's product. 4:02 p.m. One unread message. Bin. Sunny. Yesterday. Bin. Alice. 7:43 p.m. Alice. 7:43 p.m. Two unread messages. Bin.
Read.
Okay, opening. Receive, 7:43 p.m. This message contains image of size 56 kilobytes. Would you like me to describe this image? Yes or no?
Yes.
Downloading. Opening image. This image contains flower, petal, poster, plant, love, flesh. Text written on the image, or if we could spread love as quickly as we spread hate and negativity, what a beautiful world we would live in. Receive. Cam scanner file 1 cam scanner file 1.pdf, 7:43 p.m. This message contains PDF. Would you like me to read? Yes or no?
Yes.
Downloading. Opening file. Reading. Power on, press and hold the side button to turn on iPhone or activate Siri. Power off and SOS, press and hold the side button and either volume button to turn off iPhone or make an emergency call. Charging, use the lightning connector or place iPhone face up on a Qi certified wireless charger. 2020 Apple Inc. All rights reserved. Printed in China. 03404128A scanned with cam scanner. Reading complete. Going back. Chat with Alice. Latest message. Receive. Cam scanner file 1 cam. Receive.
Shut down.
Shutting down.
Right, Joe. Thank you. Okay, so we, like I said, we got users in 100 countries, and you can imagine one of the major demands are languages. Can we do their local languages? So currently, Louis in English. We have already started work. In fact, 90% work is done in Hindi, and the next language you plan to do is Spanish. And we are trying to do it in a way that doing a single language doesn't mean that we have to practically rewrite the entire voice code. So we figured out a shortcut, and hopefully it will work well. So the plan is that every 6 weeks we should be able to take out a new language. We hope to cover about top 17, 18 languages in the world. The other thing, you know, which often gets asked, and I'll ask Joe to quickly demonstrate it, is that some people find, like, you know, I think Joe's speed may be a little higher. Some people will find it to be a little slower. So Joe, just demonstrate how you can change the speed of the voice, or how you can change the voice itself.
Hey, Louis.
Hello, Joe. Which app would you like to open?
Talk slow.
Speech rate now set to 1.25. Hello, Joe. Which app would you like to open?
Change TTS.
Currently selected Google TTS. Choose from Auto TTS or Acapella TTS or Megan TTS TTS or Eloquence TTS. After the beep sound.
Auto TTS.
Just a moment. I am changing my voice.
Sorry, I missed what you said. Please repeat.
Talk fast.
Speech rate now set to 1.5. There you go. I have changed my voice. Open Gmail, Play Store, Messenger, YouTube, Google Search, Uber, WhatsApp, Contacts, Caller Message.
Change TTS.
Currently selected Auto TTS. Choose from Google TTS or Acapella TTS or Megan TTS, TTS or Eloquence TTS. After the beep sound.
Google TTS.
Just a moment. I am changing my voice.
There you go. I have changed my voice. Open Gmail, Play Store, Messenger.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Okay, so I think we're almost nearing the end. The only one last two things, in fact, I want to talk about is one is what are the apps that we are going to be doing next? So we're going to focus essentially today. Smartphone is pretty much center of our life, whether you are sighted or visually impaired like us. And we plan to do all the major apps which today are critical in our lifestyle. So for example, we are planning to do next Spotify, which is a music app, even a food ordering app, an e-commerce app, some other social media apps like Telegram, Facebook, Twitter, not that we can manage images, we might even do Instagram. We want to be able to do a navigation with voice, so therefore link it up with Google Maps. You already have something called Where Am I, but the idea is to now completely be able to let navigation be controlled by voice. And like I said, in terms of future plans, we are already started work on iPhone, so we should have that version out, towards the end of the year, early next year. And Frank, I think we are done with our demo. We are happy to take questions, get your ideas and suggestions.
When you're interacting with, is it Louis? Can you interact with the screen? Like when you were spelling a name, if you're having trouble, I noticed it didn't repeat the spelling of the name. It just, when you said the name, it seemed to accept it. But if you weren't sure exactly the spelling, are you able to have Louis spell out the name, or can you interact directly with the screen, with the keyboard in order to spell it correctly?
Okay, so this is a brilliant thought. So I think we'll do that. So what you're saying is that it can also repeat what it has picked up, P-R-A-M-I-T, like she was saying. So we'll do that. Now, what happens is that because it's a voice app, so we do not allow any gestures on the screen. Otherwise, you can imagine. So, okay, one of the things I must mention at this point is that Louis seamlessly works with a screen reader. So you don't have to turn off your screen reader. Screen reader will keep running in the background. Now, for that reason, we don't allow any gestures on the screen other than Louis has its own just two-finger touch anywhere on the screen, which is basically to interrupt Louis. So this is a good idea, Bob. I think we'll build it in where it can repeat exactly what is the spelling that it heard.
What version versions of Android does it require? And eventually when the iOS version comes out, what versions of iOS will it require?
So Android 7 and above. On iOS, right now we are at an early stage. So I don't think I can give a definitive response right now. So I think in maybe a couple of months time, we'll have a better feel when you would have done a couple of apps and we can go back and check with the older versions.
When you were doing the demo of YouTube, Louis played the video of Justin Bieber. Then we would hear pause. How did that pause come to be? Did you tap the screen to make that pause, or how did that happen?
Yeah, so like I said, okay, in the current version, what the user can do is just touch anywhere with two fingers. So that sort of interrupts Louis, because when the music is playing, you got to do that. We are also, one can also alternatively just double check the phone, so it will have the same effect. We are also working on a hands-free version, because an app like this is, could also be handy for motor disabled, elderly people, less educated people, because imagine when we can do languages, etc. So it could even be modified for hands-free driving, etc. So we are trying to work on a hands-free version as well. Right. So that's so trying to see various ways in which one can interrupt it. So right now, to answer your question, it's just a two-finger touch. And that is what interrupted the YouTube music.
So when you two-finger tap, it not only interrupted Louis, but it interrupted the playing of the YouTube app.
Yeah, that's correct. So basically, it interrupted the YouTube app and then Louis came on to basically, okay, ask, because you may want to go to the next song, you may want to do a fresh search and so on. There is, of course, a little learning curve which happens. Now, what I've noticed is that the moment users settle down, the next request is, okay, how can I use it faster? So what we have done is, so that's why this two-finger touch allows a user to keep interrupting Louis, do it faster. The other thing is that user can just say talk less. So Louis goes into a low verbosity mode where the commands are not always repeated. So only absolutely critical commands are repeated, and then user can anytime say command or help. And for that particular screen, Louis will come back and say, okay, these are the options available.
Your voices are very clear and Louis can understand that. Is Louis equally able to understand someone who might have a speech problem where the speech is not as clear?
See, I don't have too many cases. I definitely know of one person who's visually impaired as well as speech impaired. He had a heart attack. He's in Malaysia. And this gentleman, why I know it really works for him, because he didn't want to talk to me, because he said, no, you won't understand my speech. But I did speak to him. And then he actually, sent me an audio recording of his using another phone. So the surprising thing, honestly, because it came as a surprise to us also, that Louis actually was working very well for him. Other thing, and especially in countries like India, so a lot of times when I'm doing Uber booking, I could be on the road, and you can imagine the traffic and the crowds and the horns or whatever. So there's a lot of ambient noise. So I've seen it, there also Louis work reasonably well. And of course, the challenge was right now it's in 100 countries and in English only. So most of them, the feedback is fairly good. I mean, I haven't really got, maybe one or two feedback that didn't understand me, but mostly it is working for users.
You've said that you can interrupt Louis with the two-finger touch. Can you alternatively just say, Louis, stop? And will it interrupt the search?
Okay, so this is exactly what we are working on. So what happens is, unlike an Alexa device, let's say. Now, that's a device. It's a dedicated device with multiple microphones. And, because there you can just say Alexa and it will stop, right? Now, here what happens, because it's a device, not our own device, and it's a Google device. So we're trying to optimize that so that you can say, hey, Louis, and, that's one way of starting Louis. So you say, hey, Louis, and it stops. So that's something which you're trying to optimize it and make it work well.
How do you determine which kind of verbiage you're going to use? Is it determined based on the app, or do you have particular standardized verbiage that you use so that it'll work across all apps with Louis?
Okay, so the way it works is that we actually, let's say we take YouTube, for example, or an Uber. So we first start by asking a very philosophical question. I do that all the time. Okay, what is this app really for? Right, so YouTube for playing videos, Uber for doing a cab booking. So then what we do is we first do a core user flow, a voice flow. So a simulated voice flow is first created. We have a user experience team. One of them is actually visually impaired as well. And having done that, and then that is what goes to the developer. Now, a lot of the way it will ask the question, the way it will interact the user has become standardized now. So that will get integrated, but you still have to have for every app, you still have to have a specific flow depending upon what are the options in the menu, what are the kind of things that can be done. The whole idea is that irrespective of which app you use. So for example, let's say somebody has used WhatsApp and now I want to use Facebook Messenger, which is very similar, or a Gmail, which is again similar. So then the options available should be all similar. The way it should work should not be any different. So if I know how to use Facebook Messenger, I am equally happy, you know, equally comfortable using any other app. So to answer your question, there's some bit of customization because the user flows, the objective of the app is different, but then overall experience has to be very, very similar. So that one is not, otherwise, you know, one uses one app and then you are still struggling with another app, you know, that shouldn't be happening.
Have you thought of using, because another area that's very popular, at least among blind people in this country, is grocery apps like Instacart or, you know, some of these grocery shopping apps. Have you thought of looking into trying to set up any of those to work with Louis? It might be obviously a little more complicated, but...
Yeah, we want to actually. So we want to do a grocery ordering app. Instacart is possibly one example. Even if I look at Alexa and the way Amazon is supported, it's not great actually, because it just goes randomly put something in the cart. So yes, we'll do a grocery ordering app, and we'll also, we're also looking at a food ordering app as well.
All of this work, which is great, excellent work, takes money. So my question is, how much does the app cost? Are there any differential pricing? Because someone in Ghana, which is where I'm originally from, may not be able to afford the same price point as someone in the United States.
See, at its core, Louis is a social venture. And it of course has started off by some investors supporting us. So we currently have investors in India, a couple of them in US, one in Singapore. We are right now in the process of raising some more funds. Now, just to give you a perspective, So when one is talking of social impact and being able to help, there's a very large 300 million visually impaired community across the world. So I think it's both important that one is able to build something that's effective, that can positively work. And number two, you're able to sustain yourself, because otherwise there's really no long-term impact. Now, for our sustainability, there are two approaches we are taking. So the approach one is that so far, some of these apps that we have just done it on our own. We haven't really, taken any money from the companies that whose app we have voice enabled. But now what we are doing is that we are approaching these more and more companies. So right now, we are talking to a very big health insurer in US, a big diagnostics company. We are even talking to a company like WhatsApp. Right now, it's in English. We can do multiple languages for them in India and across the world. So we are talking of charging money from them. For us, that will really help bring in sustainability. For them, it's minuscule. I mean, for the size of the companies that they are, it's just minuscule. So what we are hoping is that's the approach number one. That's the preferred approach. And hopefully that will make us sustainable. Now, let's say a worst case scenario where we get some money from them, but we still need to get some more money, in which case we are planning to indeed make it a paid app. Right now, it's free, completely free. It will remain like that for at least next 6 months for sure. Now, the way we are planning is exactly what you said is, number one, to begin with, we'll keep it affordable. Now, a lot of apps, what I have seen is they start with a dollar price and then they just have the same price converted into local currencies. And you're absolutely right. In Ghana, in Africa, in India, a lot of places, it is just completely unaffordable. So what we are planning to do is to, one, have the price, affordable price right up front, even in US, even in Canada or Australia, and then make sure that the price in every country is somewhere linked to the per capita income, the purchasing power parity. And for me personally, you know, the way I look at, you know, whenever we talk of accessibility, we only talk in terms of screen readers, right? But I think one part of accessibility is affordability as well. So one can be absolutely sure that in countries where people cannot afford it, and by the way, we do have users in Ghana as well, you know, we just make sure that it's at a very, very affordable price point. And hopefully, like I said, we might even keep it free.
I did not like all those tones. Beep up. If I say stop, I'd like the app to just repeat stop instead of the tones. It seems like it's dragging out the control process and taking more time than I really feel comfortable with. So I would, you know, just if I say stop, you say stop, but don't have to play the tones all the time. The other concern that I have is there are apps coming on the market a lot faster than you can customize your app to control these apps. And I think every one of us who has a smartphone is going to have some app that's never going to come under your control because not enough people are using it. It's too far down the list or whatever. What this means is that all of us are going to have to learn two speech control systems. We're going to have to use your system for the apps that you have covered, but we're going to have to use Siri or some other built-in systems for the apps that we want to use that you have not covered. And I just wonder whether at some point we're likely to just choose one or the other. I think it's very aggravating to have to run two systems for the same function.
I think you have made both very good points. So first one, I agree with. I think we'll have an option where, you know, some people want these sounds, some people don't. So we'll probably have an option of, you know, where the sounds can be turned off. So that's a great idea. And yes, as we go forward, see, right now, I can tell you there is no other app in the world which is doing exactly what we are doing. But we are sort of going inside out, deep inside the app, being able to do everything. Now, how the future will go, which way it will move, I guess that's something we'll see as which other apps you are able to voice enable, etc. But what I can tell you is there's no automatic remedy for this. Any other app, if they're really operating at the level that we are operating, they will also have to really, customize it from app to app. So I guess let's see how things roll out forward. But thank you. These are both wonderful comments. You know, I'll tell you something because I'll give you one example. 3 years back, I started this. And initially, I spoke to a lot of these accessibility and technology experts. They all told me it cannot be done. Then, of course, we started doing it. Now, then everybody started telling me, oh, you have started doing it. 100% Google Assistant will do this. Now, what I can tell you is that one of our investors, somebody who put in money, is the person who at that time headed Google India. And he's the one who actually built Google India from scratch. And I asked him the same question because he actually put in his money where his mouth is. And he actually said that, no, Google Assistant will never do it. Because this is just too, you know, because for these guys are all playing a far bigger game, you know, where there are revenues, you know, you can provide a whole lot of voice services with gadgets, etc., this and that. We might get bought over. Another way to look at it, you know, at least the user will gain. So if more people do it, at least from a user perspective, from the, you know, perspective of the overall visually impaired community, I think it'll be wonderful to have more apps, you know, which can do something like this.
Is there a way that you could work with these app developers from the ground up so that it would make your work a lot easier?
So, yeah, good point. But yes and no. In the sense, see, today, one of our strengths are that we can just do things independently. So, for example, Uber, we didn't have to go work with them. We didn't have to seek their permission because you can imagine these large corporations. By the time you do agreement, there's that it can take months, a year can go by, you know, by the time agreements are getting signed up. So we can work independently. We don't have to ask them. In fact, Uber, the only help it provided us by giving us these test account. So today, sitting in India, we can actually take a virtual Uber ride any city in the world. So things like that, they have helped. But yeah, what we are planning to do, like I said, going forward is work with them, charge them money for it. So of course, then at least we know that, okay, these are the future versions they are working on. So if there's a dramatic change, then that change gets integrated in advance. So those help certainly, that will definitely help.
Is Louis available in the Play Store?
On Play Store, yes. It's available on Play Store and completely for free. Louis spelled out as L-O-U-I. So one can just put in Louis voice control or just put in voice control and it will show up.
On your demo of the contact, I'm assuming because of the demo, you kept it simple where you were just adding a, it sounds like a first name and a telephone number. Do you have the capability of adding, you know, first, last names, multiple phone numbers, emails, all that kind of stuff that we would typically put into a contact card?
So right now, yes, it is kept at a simple level. So the way we actually normally do it is that when we take out the first versions, we normally keep it at about 80%. We don't go the whole hog and we let the user feedback come in. So depending upon how the user feedback is, so right now, nobody has really asked for going into that kind of detail where they want to put in multiple, but that's a good idea. We can work on it. That shouldn't be very difficult.
After I pay for this, am I done paying you or do I have to keep paying for upgrades like we have to do with JAWS?
So right now it's a completely free app. And like I said, we haven't even yet decided on whether we'll price ourselves, how we'll price ourselves. So right now, those are all open questions, completely free for now.
I just want to thank you guys.
Thank you, Frank, and everybody for inviting us and being patient with us. And I hope you will try out the app once it comes in iPhone as well and give us a lot of feedback. So I think we keep an open mind. We'll get back to you fast and we try and solve the problems of the users, you know, and that's the only way to improve the app.